And I can't help but feel sorry for those that see law as an end in itself, as a way of gaining favor with Christ. We live in a day when Christ has already ushered in faith in his provision as an answer. As an introduction to the lesson, I'm just going to walk you through a little bit of storyline that runs across the Bible very rapidly. This promise refers back to a promise made to Abraham approximately 3,900 years ago, when God told Abraham, "In thy seed shall all nations be blessed." God gave that promise to Abraham that in his seed should all nations be blessed. Abraham was born, like I said, approximately 3,900 years ago. He was born in Ur of the Chaldees. His father had made an attempt at moving the family to Canaan, but instead settled in Haran. Abram, at God's bidding, later moved his family and Lot's family, which was his deceased brother's son, onto Canaan. And here, Abram received the promise that he would be the father of many nations. His name was changed to Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham, father of many. So the exalted father, and I'm not sure if when that name was given, if that was referring to Abram's father, Terah, or if that was giving as a blessing to Abram. But God chose to rename him to Abraham, which means father of many. And he gave him the promise that we have recorded here in Genesis 22:18. You don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to read that. It says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Heirs of promise. The first main point is the promise, so you can put Genesis 22:18 down for that. We're going to look next, heirs through faith. Turn with me to Galatians 3. I'm going to read this whole passage, and then we're going to come back and look at it a little more closely. But here in this passage, what we find is Paul bringing admonition to the Galatians because they had gone the road of works to gain favor with God. They were trying to find their favor with God by the things they did. And this is Paul's answer to them. Galatians 3, verse 1. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, we're looking at heirs through faith. Paul does well here at explaining that we are actually heirs through faith. That anybody can be heir of the promise that was made to Abraham. That the promise was made to those that would be heirs in faith, that would take the example of Abraham and step out in faith as Abraham did when he moved his family from Haran to Canaan. As Abraham did when God spoke to him and he said, Yes, God. Verse 2 we see here that we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. The Galatians were falling back to the works of the law, expecting that to attain their salvation. And Paul challenged them. He said, Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Heirs through faith. Verse 6 to 7 touches on that some more. Talks about how Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It says, likewise, those of faith. Those of faith are the children of Abraham. That promise, they're the children of the promise. Verses 8 to 9 goes out as far as to say that all nations will be blessed in Abraham. So we can conclude that even the pagan that comes to faith can be blessed in Abraham. Verse 11. Justification is not by law, but by faith. The just shall live by faith. So second part of the message here is cursed by the law. Just going to continue my storyline a little bit here. Abraham was in Canaan to receive that promise. Fast forwarding approximately 430 years later, actually according to Galatians, 430 years later, after Abraham's descendants wound up in Egypt for nearly 400 years, they were en route back to Canaan. They were in by the Mount Sinai, and there the Ten Commandments were given. The Ten Commandments is looked at as the epitome of law. And I believe that's accurate. It was law given by God. But what did the law do? Actually, I'm breaking out of my storyline here. If we come forward another several hundred years, to approximately 600 years before Christ, we have Ezekiel giving a summary that I'm just going to read to you in Ezekiel 18, verses 20 to 24. Ezekiel is a prophet of God preaching to the children of Israel. And in Ezekiel 18, verses 20 to 24, this is what he says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass, that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Here Ezekiel makes it clear that the soul that sins shall die. How many of you here have never sinned? Raise your hand. According to Ezekiel's prophecy, under the law, we are doomed to death because we sinned. In these verses in Ezekiel, there's a three-letter word that sometimes is really scary and sometimes is really reassuring. That's the word all. He says that all sin will be judged. The one that does not follow all righteousness is a sinner. Where it's a blessing is when he says that for those that live righteously, all righteousness will be accounted to him. There's none of us here that can say that we've never sinned. So by Ezekiel's prophecy of the law, all will die. Galatians 3, verse 12. Actually, let's look at verse 10 first. As many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. The law brought a curse. And it says why here in the latter part. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the law brought a curse. It brought a situation that of itself was impossible to live up to. Even if you look at the Ten Commandments, how many here never broke any of the Ten Commandments? There's nobody here can say that they never broke any of the Ten Commandments. So we're under the curse. The law is a curse to us because it is pronouncing judgment. It is giving a knowledge of sin and pronouncing judgment on those that do sin. Verse 12 tells us the law is not of faith. And in the latter part, the man that doeth them shall live in them. There is a law mentality. I don't think we can completely escape it because there's law all around us. Today, if you walked, there were crosswalks across the streets. There were lights to tell you when you could walk. And I know that's not a very enforced law, but there have been discussions in the law offices of the city about fines for pedestrians that jaywalk because of all the auto strikes, all the pedestrians that get hit on the road. It's law. If you drove here, there was some speed limit signs. And if you disrespect them, there's law. There's law enforcement that takes place. And these are just very little examples, but there's law all around us. So we cannot live without any reference to law. We cannot. But neither does God expect us to find justification in law. So if you made sure you walked across the crosswalks when the signs were lit, made sure you respected the speed limits, that does not necessarily ensure you justification with God. And that's what we want to look at next. Fourth part of the message is redeemed through Christ. The law brought a curse. So there needs to be a plan above and beyond the law to allow us to be heirs of the promise that was given to Abraham, a promise of blessing. Verse 13 starts talking about that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And praise the Lord for Christ and for his work. Amen. Christ, because of the work of Christ, we can be of the seed of Abraham. Christ was naturally of the seed of Abraham. We could spiritually be of the seed of Abraham. Galatians tells us that, well, verse 14, the blessing of Abraham, the work of Christ was that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. As we claim the promise in faith, as we claim the promise of redemption in faith, that promise that was made back to Abraham is for us. Now verse 16 says, this promise was made to a seed. A singular seed. And it says that we don't have to be alarmed about that because the promise is made to the seed of Christ. So if you're in Christ this morning, the promises to Abraham are to you. They are something that you can claim as reality in your life. The promise to Abraham is a promise of blessing, a promise of growth, a promise of multiplying. You can claim that promise this morning. Fifth point of the message, I want to look at the promise. superior to the law. Need to look at this briefly because there are those that would insist that the law shows us the nature of God and that God's going to act out of that in current times. First thing I want to look at is in verse 17, Paul points out that the blessing of Abraham came 430 years before the law was presented. The promise of Christ, and we can go back way beyond this, but the promise of Christ came way before the law was even spoken of. So God did not throw out a law that convicts us of sin, that brings a curse, without a remedy, without a path that we could follow to receive the blessing of the promise. The promise was there many years before the law even came. Verse 18, inheritance is of the law. I'm sorry. The inheritance is not of the law, but it's of promise. He asks it as a question. If it is of the law, he says it can't be of promise. But he asks that at the question to show to us that the inheritance is not of the law, but it's of promise. So the law could not fulfill the promise of blessing. The law could not give an inheritance of blessing. The promise to that does that. The promise of God that he made way back to Abraham does that. So what was the purpose of the law? Verse 19. It was to show transgression till Jesus should come, about whom the promise was made. The purpose of the law was to fill a point and time, a place, until Jesus should come. Without law, sin abounds. If there was no laws in the state of U.S., sin would abound even more than we see it today. And the U.S. history is very young. All you have to do is go back several hundred years. And rule was by the strongest and by those who could handle a gun the best. That was rule. And law was established to show what misdemeanor is and to bring punishment to it. So law was established in the U.S. to create a place that was safer to live. And the law given back here, presented, largely filled a very similar purpose. It was to show sin and to convict of sin, and to point people, to inspire people to look at the remedy in Christ. Verse 21, is the law against God? No, it's not. But it couldn't give life. It could not give life. Point number 6, I want to make some practical observations of the person under law. I think I might read it real quick. I wasn't going to turn to it, but I'm going to. Matthew 25. We have a judgment scene. I'm going to read, starting at verse 31 in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What I want to notice here with these two different groups that Christ addresses, one, he says, you did it. You did these things. And they said, well, when did we do it? These people were operating in the Spirit by faith. They were just living their lives for Jesus. They loved Jesus. They adored him. They loved to do what Jesus did, because they wanted to please Jesus. And in the process, they found themselves loving their fellow man, reaching out to those who were hurting, testifying to those who were lost. The other group of people, when Jesus addressed them with the same things and said, you didn't do it, they said, Christ, when were you here that we did not do these things to you? When were you in prison? We would have come. When were you naked? We would have come. They were operating out of law. They were looking at the commandments of Christ that said, do this. And they were saying with themselves, whenever we see that, we're going to do that. The other thing Christ said, do this. And they were saying within themselves, whenever we see this, we're going to do that. But they missed the relationship of the Spirit through faith. They did not have that connection. They did not have that relationship with Jesus. And that's why he tells them, depart from me. Another place it says, I never knew you. There was not that relationship. I don't know who you are. So we have some practical observations of the person under law. They operate on commandments. It's the first thing I want to point out. If it says this, I'm going to do this. If it doesn't say this, then forget it. Furthermore, they tend to operate under fear of punishment. If the law says this, and I can do it, and I would like to do it, and I think I can do it without punishment, then it's mine to do. It's the person that's working under law. Another observation, their desires have not changed. They still have those same desires churning within them. They still want to go out to that casino. That's what they know as fun. They still want to go out and throw a party for the weekend. That's their idea of fun, of enjoyment. They still want their own way. They still want the carnivals. They still want pleasure. And they want it in a tangible way. Final observation I'm going to give about the person under the law. They find living right hard to impossible. They just don't have the power to do it. And I will hasten to say they don't know what justification is. They don't know what it is to be free of the worries and burden of guilt. Some practical observations of the person in the spirit. I believe the primary motivation is love for a master. It says we love him because he first loved us. Jesus manifested love. A big part of the fulfillment of the promise was when Jesus came and died on the cross to provide redemption that anybody can know what it is to be cleansed and have a relationship with God. Does everybody choose it? No. But anybody has the opportunity to know it. And because of what he did, our love just wells back to him. We want to learn more of him. We want to talk to him. We want to hear him talk to us. Second observation I will make about the person who is in the spirit, he feels blessing. The person under the law was constantly feeling a curse. The only way they can escape it is to pursue their pleasures. But the one under the Spirit feels blessing. Because of that love, because of that blessing, he finds his desires changing. Does a flesh bring temptations? Yes, it does. But as we cultivate that relationship with God, the desires change. They change. The flesh has less and less of a command on us, and our relationship with God is more and more of a driving factor in our lives. The inner desire from the depth of the heart is to do right. There's that desire to do right with not so much focus on what it's going to cost. Whereas a person under law, that's a constant decision they make. Can I do this and face very little cost? Can I do this without much punishment, without a very big fine? Another point I'll bring out. The person in the spirit is indeed happy to receive his reward. He doesn't feel guilty accepting his reward. He is happy to receive his reward. He recognizes that. It's part of the fulfillment of the promise. You know, that's one of the blessings that we can have. There's reward in the life today as we feel the blessing and as we feel our desires changing. And there's reward in the future where someday we can hear those words that Jesus said to the group on his right hand, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I trust that this little dialogue has shown us the difference, the huge difference between a life of trying to do right because that's the right thing to do, and a life of developing a relationship with Jesus, and in that power going forth and doing what's right. Because brothers and sisters, the battlegrounds in the heart are totally different. The outcome is totally different. And the one is a curse. The one is the double-minded man that is constantly at a loss because he can't figure out how to keep a foot in both camps. And the other one is a life of blessing. And my prayer this morning is that each of us could know the blessing in being an heir of the promise that we can have God's blessing. Let's kneel for prayer.